The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Mem Dalid. And we are about 15 lines from the top of daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, rolling along, sugyas, yesh noichlin. We're holding now in Perek Misha Meis, halachas regarding nachlois, yerusha, shchiv mera, v'chulei v'chulei. Zok to Gemara, huda amalei nichse l'banai. There was a man who said before he died, I want my nechasim to go over to my sons. The problem is, he only had one son. He said sons. He also had a daughter, Havalei Bra Ubarta. And the shayla that emerged was, Mikari Inchi Libra Bonai. When he said sons, did he really mean only his son? And despite the fact that he had one in the singular, and he said two in the plural, he really meant to give all his nechasim over to his son. If he really wanted to give it over to his son, his ben yachid, he would have said, nichsei libni, not libanai, to my son. So must be, because he said sons, he means to include his daughter. I'm Rabbi Tashma. I'll prove to you from a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "Ubnei Don Chushen." Don had one son. His name was Chushen. Yet the Torah refers to it as Bnei Don, but Lashin Rabin. So you see that sometimes a ben yachid would be referred to as Bnei. Amalei Rava, but Rava said, maybe the reason the Torah referred to it as Bnei Don, not Ben Don, is because there's a drush. That despite the fact that at that moment, Don only had one son, but in the future, Shevet Don was going to be part of a Rava. Just like there are many leaves on a Kana, so too from this one Chushen, beautiful generations were going to emerge. So maybe it's because of that drush that the Torah wrote something that's grammatically incorrect and said Ubnei Don Chushim as opposed to Uben Don Chushim. Says the Gemara, you're right. Alama Rava Ubnei Palu Aliyav. There's another precedence for it, also a pasuk in the Torah. Ubnei Palu, Bnei is Lashon Rabim, Eliyav, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef says, Ubnei Eson Azaria. Somebody who said, I want my nechasim to go over to my sons, Havalei Bra Ubarbra. He had a son and a grandson. What was the shayla? Did he mean to give it only to his son? Or perhaps he meant to give it to his grandson as well? Kari Inchi Labarbra Bra. When a person says, my son, does he mean to include his grandson? Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasit Mar Bravashi, right to Mar Bravashi, that a person does not refer to his grandson as his son. If someone is Mudr Hana from his sons, he makes a neder saying that I will not have Hana from my sons. He's allowed to have Hana from Bnei Banim. And the Chiddush is that even though Bnei Banim Kibanim, so that in halachas of Kibbut of the Eim, Hilchas Talmud Torah, there are times where you find that a grandfather could be considered a father, a grandson can be considered a son, but as it relates to Lashon Me'adam, Hilchas Nadarim, here the halacha is, Hamudra Anami Banim Mutar B'Bnei Banim. So this idea of Ahuda Amar Luhu Nichsei Levonai, it would make sense then that it should be totally what Lashon Me'adam is, and in Lashon Me'adam, a person does not refer to a son as a grandson. It's interesting that when the Gemara had the Shiloh, when somebody says, I want my Nechasim to go to my sons, and only has one son, would a person refer to his one son as sons, or would he not? And the Gemara brought three psukim. First, the Gemara brought Ubnei Don Chushim, but the Gemara said, you have no raya. Then the Rava said, Ubnei Palu Aliyav. Rabbi Yosef had a different pasuk. Ubnei Eitan Azaria. Rava's pasuk is Bamidba Perek Chav Bav. Rav Yosef's pasuk is Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Beis. So I saw the Netziv Shtels that why would Rav Yosef bring a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim if he could bring a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar? And he says a Dover Nifla. He says that Sefer Bamidbar is part of the Torah. It was written B'Lashon HaTorah. Sefer Divrei Hayomim is part of Ksuvim and it was written B'Lashon Bnei Adam. So it could be Rav Yosef held that you can't bring a raya from Parshas Pinchas. You can't bring a raya from Sefer Bamidbar because that's B'Lashon HaTorah. Lashon HaTorah, maybe it does make sense to say Ubnei, even though you're only talking about a Ben Yachid. But we're dealing here with Lashon Bnei Adam. Like the Gemara says, L'maskana, Hamudar, Anami Banim, Mutav Bnei Banim, despite the fact that in Halacha, Bnei Banim is Kibanim, because we don't care what the halacha says right now. What we care is what people mean when they say, and that's going to determine the halacha in this context. So Rav Yosef said, I have a raya that in Lashon Bnei Adam, people will sometimes say Bnei, in the plural, even though they're referring to a ben yochid, and what's the raya to that? Ubnei eson a zarya. It's interesting, the Gemara mentions Ubnei don chushen. Chushen had one son. Don had one son. His name was Chushen. And this one son, Chushen, we actually know a little bit about. The Gemara, the Soita, end of the first parak, tells the rest of the story that when the Shvatim were trying to bury Yaakov at the Ma'oris HaMachpelah, so Esav and his entourage came and they put up a fight and they said that Esav is the Bechar, and because he's the Bechar, he's really the one that's entitled to bury the Shal Namar HaMachpelah. Either way, Chushen Ben Don sees what's going on. He sees that his Zayda, Yaakov Avinu, is Mutal B'Bezayin. He picks up an axe, boom, he kills Esav. Esav head falls off. Eventually, Reisha Shal Esav gets buried in the Maris Machpelah. Chaim Volozhin, in the beginning of Nefesh HaChaim, says that the Oimek HaDvarim is that every single thing in the world is Sheirosha V'Kedusha. Even Esav, who's the embodiment of evil, the embodiment of Ra, his Reisha is Kaddish, and that's why it's buried in the Maris Machpelah. But either way, that whole event that played itself out at the time, the Ramban in the end of Parashas Vayichi brings from Sefer Yosifon that on the way back, another fight broke out. Rome came about through that fight. Things that we've spoken about previously, hashtag rest of the story. But the bottom line is, Chushen was the one that knocked out Esav. Why was Chushen the one that knocked out Esav? So the Gemara says, because he was deaf. And he didn't really know what was going on. He couldn't follow. Chaim Shulevitz has a famous sicha. He says that people sometimes, they get caught up in the details and they lose track of the big picture. So all the Chachamim and the Lomdim were trying to figure out, Yaakov, Esav, he is the Bechar, didn't get the Bechar, was it a Dovah Shalei Balaylam, was it a Shvua, the Rosh, the Rivash? They probably started getting involved in all the lumdis of whether or not Yaakov's Mechir, it wasn't good. Chushen couldn't hold cup, he was a Cheresh, Enish and Meir, perhaps he was an Enim Adabra as well. He couldn't get involved in all this. He just saw one thing, he saw the big picture. He saw that his Zayda's body is lying here, Pibizoyan, something has to be done about it. And Chaim's Musr Shmuz is that sometimes you have to be able to detach yourself from the details and be able to see the big picture and act upon it. Tremendous, tremendous sikha, beautiful lesson that's learned out from there. But Don has one son. His son is Chushim, and his son was a Cheresh. So the Bali Musa say that you can imagine when Yaakov and his family got together, what the family looked like, or what Don might have been feeling. He sees Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they all have naches from their mishpacha, and Don has one son. He has a ben, Binyamin had 10 sons. He has one son. He's a ben Yochid, he's a Cheresh. He can't learn in the yeshiva together with the Zayde Yaakov. He's completely, completely out of it. But if you fast forward to the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, you know what happens? Like the Gemara says, Ubnei Don Chushim, Shayim Merubim Kechushim Shalkana. When the Torah lists the census of all the Shvatim, it goes through Shevet by Shevet. The one that had the most members was Shevet Yehuda, 74,600. Number two on the list was Shevet Don, 62,700. After that, there was Shimon, 59,000, Zvulun, 57,000, Yisachar, 54, 46, 40, 35, 32, 41. But in a comfortable lead, it's Yehuda, and then it's done. Done, like the Gemara says, Hoye merubim kechushin shalkana. And you see, you never know where the nachas is going to come from. We had the idea of havaras nachla. They're not supposed to be maver nachla from a bra tova to a bra bisha. And the Gemara Ksubas Nun Gimel Amanalev says, do you really know if your nachas is going to come from your bra tova? Maybe it's going to come from the bra bisha. Here, Don has this one son, Chushin, that in his mind, who knows, maybe he wrote off. And so much naches, 62,700 yidden between the ages of 20 and 60. Don is meruba kechushim. Either way, that's a little bit of musr that you can take out just from ubnei don chushim. Zok the Mishnah vayte niach bonim gedayim mktanim. Again, misha meis. That's the theme here. He left over a family. There were bonim gedayim and there were bonim ktanim. There's a state, and before this estate was divided, hishpichu gedayim zanachasim. The gedayim, the older sons, went and they were mashpiach tenechasim. They started working at those fields. They worked the fields. They started investing what the father left over. So the halach is a shpichu le'emtza, even though the gedolim are the ones that are doing it. And ordinarily, if someone's yoreid l'seich sadeh chaveroi birshos, which this presumably is, if someone is yoreid l'seich sadeh chaveroi birshos, the halach is he's entitled to something disproportionate for the work that he did. Over here, it doesn't work that way. It's because we assume that the Gedolim, when they did the work for this Tfusas Habayis, this estate, they did it on behalf of the entire estate on behalf of the younger siblings, and they were Meichel. If Reuven goes into Shimon's field, his neighbor, some random person who starts working the field, the umden is he's probably not just doing him a favor. He wants to get paid. So if it's Shaloi Bershus, the halacha is kacha. If it's Bershus, it's a different halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But this is different. Over here, it's viewed as if there was a mechila. So if the Gedolim were mashpiach in a chasen, and because of that, the estate went up in value. When it comes time to divvy up the estate, the halach is it's going to be divided equally, and you're not going to give a disproportionate amount of the estate to the Gedolim, despite the fact that they were mashbiach the estate. If, however, before they go into the estate to be mashbiach, they make a declaration, they send a memo to their younger brothers, and they tell them, we're going to work the field, but we don't want to do it for you. We want to do it for ourselves, and halach is a shpichul atzma. Now, we shouldn't point out that that's only going to work for their chelik, meaning they don't have a right to go issue this memo, be mashpiach the entire field, even their younger brother's chelik, and then keep the shvach for themselves. They're not a bottle bus on the chelik that's supposed. But as long as they take the piece that belongs to them, so let's say half the estate was going to belong to the banim gedolim, and the other half was going to belong to the banim ktanim, if they make this declaration, and then their mashpiach half the field, any shvach that comes from that half a field, they're allowed to keep for themselves. V'cheinu isha, the same exact halach is regarding a isha, sheshpichas anachasim, if she was mashpiach nechasim, she was a yoyrish, the Gemara is going to ask, nashim usually don't yarshim, but in an instance where a woman does yarshin, same exact halacha, that if she's supposed to yarshin together with the yisoyimim, let's say, so a man dies, he leaves over a wife and yisoyimim, or maybe a daughter and sons, or a granddaughter and sons, b'kahai gavno, where the girl, the isha, is yarshin together with the sons, it's the same exact halacha. Meaning the halacha is not only true if the one that did the work was a male, but even if the one that did the work is a female, the halacha is going to be the same. The Gemara is going to say, pshita, why would you think a woman is different than a man? But the same exact halacha. If she was mashpich, then chasim, mashpich lemtz, umra, if she made this declaration, ra'u mashe nichli baili, hareni oisev aicheles, there the halacha is, hishpich lats. Umra, chaviv, reid rav, yosef, reid rav, mishmeid rav. The only time this halacha is true, that if the bottom gedolim go, they're mashpich, the field, the halach is the shvach goes la emtsa. That's only if they were mashpiach the field from the field, meaning they didn't use their own money, their own time, they didn't expense it on themselves. They used the estate to be mashpiach the estate. Then the halach is the shvach goes la emtsa. Avos shavchu nechasa machmas atzman. But if they did use the resources of the estate to be mashpiach the estate, there that I'm sorry, if they use their own resource to be mashpiach the estate, shpichul atzman over there, it's going to go to them. So the only time the halacha of the Mishnah is true, said Rava, is if they use the estate's resources to be mashpiach the estate. But if they use their own resource to be mashpiach the estate, there the halacha is shpichul atzman. Any fake the Gemara of Amr, Rabchanin, afelo enich lemavir, elo udaini, haschar leemtza. There's a Rav Chanina said that this halacha of the Mishnah is true even if the Yerusha, the tfusas habayis, the estate, is garnished as a estate. All the father left over when he died was a bar, left over a pit, v'kisuyov, with a cover. And you can make a little bit of money on it, says the Rashbam. V'soichu noise lehashkisodis mimeimov, because you can lease it out and use the water that's there to irrigate your field. But the point is that if the brothers went ahead and they did it, the halach is haschar le'emtza. The halach of the Mishnah is going to apply. What's the kasha of a udaini, a bar, and its cover, the machmas atzmoihu, any investment that is going to be put into it is going to be considered hishpichu machmas atzmoihu. And the reason is, because how would you invest in this bar v'kisuyav? The Rashbam says you would watch it. You would be the shomer over it. That's the way to be mashpiachet. Being the shomer over it would mean you would watch it, or you would pay someone to watch it. Now, how are you paying him? All the father left over was barbecue suyav. So presumably it's coming out of your own pocket. And still, even though the shvach is coming out of your own pocket, what did Rav Chanina say? Hashvach le'emtza. So you see that the halacha of hashvach le'emtza is true even if the shivchu nechasim was machmas atzman. Not only if it was shifchu nechasim, machmas nechasim. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Goshani udaini delatirusu David filik tana mati mantri. That the shmir that needs to be done for the barbecue suyav is so minimal that it's not even viewed as being a davar chashiv. It's true. If there's a real shibchu machmas atzmon, then the halach is the shvichul atzmon. But this is not considered real. Being that it's not considered real, it's not a sushtal to anything we're talking about. Amru, if they made a declaration and they said ra'u mashinia chab harenu oisim va'oichlin, there the halach is a shvichul atzmon. Safra shavak avu azus. Rav Safra's father died and he left over money. He also left over sons. One was a very chashuv son, Rav Safra, and he had other sons as well. Says the Gemara, Shaklinu avabu iska. Rav Safra took the money and he invested it. He invested it in an iska, chatzi milva, chatzi pekadim. Again, not a heter iska. Heter iska is what people use today when they want to lend money by ribbis and they don't want it to be ribbis. But really, what you're doing is you're drafting the loan as if it would be an iska. This was a real iska. Says the Gemara, he invested it and he made money. Also, his brothers came and they wanted a chelek in it based on our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if hishbichu gdoilim esanachasim, hishbichu lemsa. So they felt that whatever profit came because of this iska, they're entitled to a chelek of it because of the fact that they're yarshim. So the Gemara says the shayla was brought to Rava. Amaluhu, Rava said as follows: Rav Safra gaver rabu. Rav Safra is a gaver rabu. What does it mean? He's a gaver rabu. He sits and he learns Torah and leishavik girse v'tarach lachrine. Rav Safra, it's one thing. Maybe he's going to go work a little bit so he can support his family. But to think that he's going to start investing other people's money and he's going to make money for other people, no way. So that Rav Safra, when he went and invested the money, it was as if he told his brothers, "Listen, I'm doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for you," so that they can't come now with a tefillah and get their chelik. It's true. Ordinarily, a person would have to say a mafurish, like the Mishnah says, "Amru ra'u mashin yechapo." Then the halacha is going to be true ashvach la'atzma. But Rav Safra, even if he doesn't say it, it's understood. There's an umdur of the muchach that that's how this works because Rav Safra gavur rabahu and loyshavi girsei v'tarach lachrin. Isha shishpichas anachasim shpichal nets. The Mishnah said that this halacha is true whether the yoyrish and the mashbiach was a ben gadol or if it's an isha. Says the Gemara, firstly, isha b'nichse yasmi maya b'detei. How is it possible for a isha to yarshin together with yisoymin? Amrav yermiya b'isha yereshes. I am b'reshbam. He works out different scenarios. How would be possible? But the Gemara says, pshita. At the end of the day, why would I think the halach should be different for an isha than it is for a ben? Says the Gemara, ma'adu teim, I would have thought. Kimi the love d'arka l'mitrach. Ah, fagav k'lei parish. K'mei the parish tami. A similar svar to Rav Safra. We said, someone like Rav Safra, he's a gabri rabbi, doesn't go and invest on behalf of other people. A woman, you could say the same thing. Kol k'fudu bas melech p'nima. A woman doesn't just go invest. So maybe to support herself, k'dei chayav, she felt she had to do something to the field. But to have a havamina that she was doing it on behalf of the assignment, so I would have thought that it's poshit that afo gaftaloi parish, k'moy de parish tami. Even though she did it stam, and usually if you do it stam, the shvach goes to the tfus asabayis. It goes to over here, it's obvious that she's doing it for herself. Kamashmuat. Then the Mishnah said, the second half of the halach is also true for an isha. Vim amra ro'u mashi niachli bayli, harini oisavei cheles, hishpichal atzma, says the Gemara Pshita. This is certainly poshit. Now the tema, I would have thought, even the shvichala milsa the amri katarchi kami yasmi achuli achal kamashal. The Gemara said, I could say a fakertis far as well. I could say that maybe this woman, the wife, wants people to talk about her, and people should say, "Wow, look at this amana! What an eshes chayel! She's going and she's toiling and she's working, even though it's not the derech for a woman to do it, but she's doing it on behalf of the yisoyimim." So I would have thought that even if she said ro'u mashi niachli bayli hayreni oisav aichelas, even then, maybe the shvach would go le'emtza. Kamash Malon, that the Gemara says, when it comes to an isha, there's two completely diametrically opposed svaras that you can say, and that's why the Mishnah has to say that the same halacha that you have by niach barim gedolim uktanim, that again, if the ben gadol goes and he's mashpiach the field, Rava said, dafka from the field itself, but if he's mashpiach the field, stam, it goes le'emtza. If he says, take a look at what my father left me, I want to go ahead and be mashpiachid, then he keeps it for himself. It's also going to be true if the yarshim were a wife and the yisoyimim, and the wife made this declaration. Both sides of it are true, even though you could have argued each one. Svaris hafucha is like the Gemara speaks out, but it doesn't matter. Another halacha. Amar Rab Chanina, hamasi ishul b'nei gadol. If somebody marries off his oldest son, so his b'nei b'chayri, his oldest son is getting married. The bias, he marries him off in a house. Listen to a Kiddush. So, there's a house. The chasen is taking place, not in a hall. It's happening in this house. Konoi. If the father owns the house, after the chasenah, the son is going to end up owning the house. The Gemara in the bottom of the Yomid is going to say that this is one of three halachas that are kehilchasa beloy taima. But this is the halachas. If a man marries his son off in a house that belongs to him as a wedding present, ke'ilu, the son ends up getting the house. Says the Gemara, you have to read the fine print. V'davka gadol, only if it's his oldest son. V'davka besula, only if he's marrying a besula. V'davka ishta rishayna, also only if for his oldest son it's the first wife. V'davka sheseir rishon, also only if this is the first one getting married. But if the marriage happened, shalika seida, meaning this, his younger brother got married before him, so it's not the first chasma that the father's making, then these halachas wouldn't be true. Says the Gemara, pshita yichalei aviv bayis v'aliyah, bayis kon aliyah kon. What if this house had a bayis and an aliyah? So there were two floors to this house of perek habayis v'aliyah fame. Last perek in Masechta Bava Metzia. So what if there was a bayis v'aliyah and the chasin happened in the bayis? So the halacha is the ben gadol gets the bayis. So we meet all those prerequisites. Does the son get the aliyah as well? So the Gemara says, no, it's pashit not. Bayis kon aliyah lekon. Bayis v'achsadra ma'o. What if the bayis had an achsadra, like a porch that led into it? Or shnei batim zeilefnem izem ma'o. What if there were two houses, an inner house and an outer house? And the chasin happened in the inner house. Does the son get the outer house as well? What's the Hava Mino? Because in order to get to the inner house, you have to walk through the outer house. Maybe it's considered like an achsadra. Says the Gemara, Teku, Meisve, I'll ask you a kasha. Is this true? That if a father marries off his son in his house, the son ends up getting the house. I'll ask you a kasha from a b'raisa. Yichalei aviv bayis v'kli bayis. If the father was miyachid a bayis for the chasana, and clay bias for the chasana, utensils that are used in a house. So the halach is, after the wedding, clay bias kana, bias loy kana. The son gets something, it's true, but not what we thought he gets. He gets the clay bias. He doesn't get the bias itself, he gets the oven and the refrigerator, but he doesn't get the bias. That Bryce was talking about, where the father, even b'shas the wedding, had some of his possessions there. Because he had some of his possessions over there, that's a gilui milsa that he doesn't want to give this house over to his son. So over there, the house doesn't go over to his son. But enochi nami, if he would have removed everything from it, it's then that the halacha would kick in. Nardoi Amri, says the Gemara, afilu shufcha diyoini. Even if the thing that he left there doesn't have to be something chashuv. Even if he left there a shevach where yoinim are, that's enough to say that oitzroi shall aviv is munach sham, so that he can't get the bias, all he can get is the klibas. Rav Yudav, Rav Papi, Yami, Afil, Atzitza, the harsono. Even if he has a pot with salty fish. Mar Zutra, Ansebe, Lebrei, says the Gemara, Rav Zutra married off his son, and he didn't want his son to get the house. V'tolu le sandalus, he left his shoes there. Rav Ashi, Ansebe, Lebrei, Rav Ashi married off his son, and he too didn't want to give his son the house. So V'tolu le Ashisha, the Mishcha, he left a pach shemen over there. Amar Mar Zutra said, regarding this halacha, Hani klas, Mila, Shavin, Rabban, Kichas, Leitami. This is one of three things that are Hilchas, Leitami. This is the first one we just mentioned. That if somebody marries off his ben gadol, it's the ben gadol's first time getting married. He's marrying a besula. He's also the first son getting married. Says the Gemara, the son gets the bias. Maybe only the clear bias, but something he's for sure going to get. That's the first thing. That's a hechzabalei taima. Idach. We had this not so long ago. If somebody gives over all his nechasim to his wife before he dies, we assume that he really didn't mean to give his wife all the nechasim. What he wanted was that his wife should be an apotropos, so that when he dies, the sons will have no choice but to respect this woman because they know that she holds the keys to the Yerusha. But not that he really wants to give it. That's a multiple taima. He gave her a gift. He wrote that I'm giving it to you. Mechitesi, we should assume this. Idacht amar rav, manali biyotcha. If somebody has a pekadim by somebody else, so Reuven gave Shimon a pekadim. So Shimon's holding Reuven's thing. And now Reuven goes over to Shimon and he says, Tenei ulaploini, I want you to give it to Shimon. But my mitzlashton, if there were three people there, let's say Reuven, Shimon, and Levi were all there, Kana, it automatically transfers from Shimon to Levi. This is a sugi, Masechtas Gittin, Daf Yudalid, Daf Yud Gimel. We spoke about this at length when we learned Masechtas Gittin. So the kinyan, my mitzlashton, it's a very mechudish tege kinyan. There's no real maisa taking place. You're just instructing someone to do something. You're saying you want something to be a certain way. As long as it's done in my mishloshim, that's enough. That's the third thing that's hilchas of late time. So there are these things that are really hilchas of late time. If you look at the Rashbam seems to try to say pshatim. You have to know what hilchas of late time means. I'm Rashbam here. If you take a look at Rashi, Tosfos Gittin Daf Yudalid in the sugya of my mishloshim, halacha l'meish misina, whatever the exact pshat of hilchas of late time is, in kamakoy me laharech nocha mishmo. There were two brothers that yarshim the estate from their father, and one of these brothers just got a job. What kind of job? The Gemara is going to explain. The halach is nachal ensa. The money that this son earns from the job that he just received has to go le'emtza. He doesn't get to keep it for himself, but rather it goes to the tfusas abayis. It goes to the estate, and whoever's entitled to a portion of the estate, they're going to get a portion of this fellow's income as well. Another halacha, chalav and esrapa. A man died, he left over a family. They're supposed to yarshin, they didn't divide the Yerusha yet, and now one of the yarshim got sick. The halacha is nisrapa mishalatzmai. When he pays doctor bills, he has to pay out of his own pocket. So kedai techamina, maybe he can use the estate, being that it's before the Yerusha, to pay for his bills. Kamash Malan says the Mishnah he can't. Says the Gemara, interesting halacha. You have two brothers that yarshin an estate. One of them gets a phone call. He was just offered a big job. He takes the job. He has to take half his salary and he has to give it over to the estate. Why would that be the halacha? Says the Gemara. Hay umnes ha-melech. We're not talking about he didn't become an accountant or a lawyer. He's working for the melech. So what? Let's see the next price. Tanu Rabbanan. Echem enachash amino gabay oipul mustis. He got a job working for the melech, a government job. In machmas ha-achin la-achin. Oh. If the reason he got the job was because of who his father was, because he's the heir of his father's estate, so the estate is the siba for the job that he got, that's when the halacha of the Mishnah is true, then nafalo emsa. In fact, machmas atzmoy, if he got the job because of his own credentials, la'atzmoy, then certainly he's going to get to keep the money for himself. Says the Gemara, machmas achen la'achem pshita, if that's what we're talking about, he only got the job because of the estate, shouldn't it be obvious that the halacha is it goes la'emsa? So what's the kiddush of the Mishnah? We went from not understanding the Mishnah to not understanding what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. So with this one son was a prodigy. He was a charif. He was a really, really bright, special individual. So ma'u detema ichvolt gevolt meinin churfei garimle. That even though it's true, he got the job because of his yichus, but a hotan egin a yichus also. So maybe at the end of the day, that's the real reason that he got the job. Kamash malon. That as long as there's an element of you getting it machmas the estate, don't come to me now with a taina that you're anyways about kishrin and you anyways could have gotten the job. At the end of the day, you got it because your father's Rosh Yeshiva, so you became Rosh Yeshiva. You got it because your father had a certain position within the government. He died. Now you're taking over his position. The point is that to the extent that we could rationalize that the reason this brother got the job is because of the fact that his father died and he somehow being memalim mokim aviv, now the entire tfusas abayas, the entire state has a claim on his paycheck that he takes every 2 weeks, and they could come now with a taina. In fact, the halacha is nafalo em. So you have to divide it. Very big chiddush, but that's the halacha. Tanu rabbanon echem enachash enot amasayim zuz lumei teira. If one of the brothers took 200 zuz from the estate after the father died, before the estate was divided to go learn Torah, the brothers can tell, if you're staying here, it's okay. Meaning it's understood that before the estate is divided, that all the brothers have to be supported from. I mean, let's say it would take 3 months for the estate to be divided. A man dies, and he leaves over Yarshin, he leaves over a lot of money. So they bring professionals in, independent, you know, assessors, people that are going to try to determine what the value of this estate is. But it can take time. It takes 90 days in order for this to be sorted out. But in the meantime, everyone needs food, if my clothing, a yontif comes, what are you going to do? So they would take money out of the estate. Everyone would be entitled to something. So one of the boys says, listen, I want to be supported. I want to learn Torah. I want to learn an umnis. So the halacha is he's entitled to it. But only, says the Gemara, if he stays there. But if he says, I want to go learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and this estate is in New York, so if you're going to stay with us, yes. Why? Give it to him. What's the difference where he is? What's the difference if he's learning in BMG or if he's learning in the Mir? Should it make a difference? That the more people that are there, the more bracha there is in the bias. We've spoken about this in the past as well. So the ikataina, that if you were here, we'd have more bracha. And being that we'd have more bracha, then mainly you'd be entitled to something. But by you leaving, you're affecting our bracha. Mamela, I'm not giving you anything. But the Gemara says, I hear you want to tell me that because his brother's leaving, he's going to Eretz Yisrael to learn. So there's an impact on the Birchas Habayis. So maybe you should deduct a little bit from what he was supposed to get. You can tell him, listen, it's true, every brother's entitled. Because he's entitled to make certain withdrawals from the estate. But at the same time, realize that every brother is contributing to the estate. How's he contributing? by being there. So you're not contributing, so you don't get the withdrawal. So they can say, it's not dollar for dollar. You can't tell me that if a brother leaves, it's dollar for dollar that because he's not contributing, maybe he shouldn't be able to withdraw. So you can tell me, okay, because there's no brechas avayis beruba, instead of there being eight sons, now there's only seven. So we're going to lose out kacha. So whatever that was lost is going to be deducted from what the son is entitled to. But if he's entitled to $100,000 Yerusha, you're going to tell me brechas avayis beruba means that $100,000 is going to be lost because it's not mistaber that way. So it says the Gemara, you don't want to give him 100%, don't give him 100%. But at the same time, you should give him something. Pro rata, says the Gemara, Enochanami. Nice teretz. Enochanami. It's true. Like, where's the cholav in Nisrapa? Nisrapa Mishalatzmai. Thought the Gemara was going to say Mechatesi. No. Enochanami. Paka grabba. No. Zok the Mishnah again. Cholav in Nisrapa. Nisrapa Mishalatzmai. That if father dies, leaves over children, one of the sons gets sick. So you would think, if the son is entitled to mezainos during this interim period while they're trying to sort out the Yerusha, why shouldn't the son be able to expense his doctor bills on the business? I mean, sounds like a good accountant would be able to find a way to make that a business expense, make it an estate expense, so to speak. So why shouldn't you be able to do that? Says the Gemara, you can't. It's talking about where the son became sick, machmas pshia. He did something in terms of, but if he was an oinus, and that's why he became sick, then the aloch is nisrap him in an. So then he could use the estate in order to take care of his doctor bills. What's an example of a person becoming sick because of pshia? Everything comes from the Eibishter, except for two things. If somebody becomes ill because of cold, if somebody becomes ill because of heat, that's something you did yourself. That's something he could be careful. Everything else comes from Shemaim. So if it was a machlo that came from Shemaim and Achinami. But if it's tzin and pachin, those two things, b'derech ikesh, if it's tzina, if it's chayim, those are things that come achmas pshia. That's what the Mishnah was referring to. If it's something along those lines, then chola v'nisrapa, nisrapa mishalatz, when he has to pay his own doctor bills, he doesn't have a right to expense those bills onto the tfusas habayis. So this week, the last 2 days, we spoke out some festerate regarding the halachis of mezakel uber. So we went from mezakel uber to a mekadesh uber. With the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Halachat Zayin, Hilchas Ishos, the Rambam says a lashon that if somebody is mekadesh an uber, he goes over to a man whose wife was pregnant and says that I want to marry your child. I mean, I don't know if the baby that's going to be born is going to be a boy, or if it's going to be a girl. But if it's going to be a girl, I want to marry her. So the halacha is, im hoisa ishes chaver meuberes, the hooker or uber, the uber is nicker, harezu mekudeshes, the kedushin is going to be. Then the Rambam says, v'yir li, shetzorech lachzer v'lekadesh oisa me'ovia achashetiyu. After the baby is born, you have to do another kedushin, kidei shiach nesoisa bekedushin she'im ben doif. So this week we spoke out, machlokes, between Rabbi Kiva Eger and Benoi, Rabbi Shloim Eger, they went back and forth. Shailos Tshuvas, Rabbi Kivegas, and Kufayin, Kufayin Aleph, Kufayin Gimel, where they had a Machlekes Yisoydi, had to understand Pashup Shana and the Rambam. Rabbi Shloim Eger understood that the Rambam means to say that it's possible for a man to marry an Uber. You can marry a Ketana. You can marry even an Uber. A father could be Mekabel Kedushin on behalf of his child. That's an upper. Such a kedushin is going to be chal. And it was because of that, Rosh Hashanah was very, very bothered. He said, in light of the fact that the Rambam Perek Zayin Hilchas Avodim paskins that ubi yerechim, and the Rambam paskins that you can't be mekadesh a chatzi isha. So how could the Rambam say you can be mekadesh an uber? L'churich be chsarn of chatzi isha. Because uber yerech ima, the uber is a chelik of the mother. You're not being mekadesh the mother. The mother's an isha sin. She's married already. So l'churich be mekadesh chatzi isha. So Shlomo Egish told to the Rambam perek dal hilchas ishos by chetz yeshivcha chetz baschayrim. We're hoyavalei shayir bekinyona. It is possible to be mekadesh even the chatzi isha. Here too said Rabbi Shlomo Egish you're leishayir bekinyona. But the bottom line is Rabbi Shlomo Egish's beer, his understanding in the Rambam was that when the Rambam says "Hareza mekudeshes," the Rambam meant achshav, right now. When we find out later that this uber was a nekevo, igloy milsalim afreya, that b'shas the kedushin in the state of a fetus, in the state of an uber, the kedushin was already chal. Reb Kivager tells his son Reb Shlomo Eger, after being shakul v'tari in different aspects of his shaila, he tells him, I disagree with you fundamentally in the way you understood the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't mean that you're being makadosh and uber. What the Rambam means is you're doing a ma'isa kedushin right now, but you're saying that like ishtelei, when the uber is going to be born, that's when you want the kedushin to be chal. I'm glad that the kedushin is not chal this section. She's an uber now. How can you be makadosh and uber? You're makadosh a fetus, you're married to who? To a fetus? Makes sense. It doesn't make any sense. The kedushin is going to be chal later. The kedushin is going to be chal like ishtelei. If that's the case, it has nothing to do with being makadosh chatzi isha. Mekadosh chatzi isha is the taich. If right now, but oydem uberes, that's when the kedushin would be chal. So right now, uber yerachim, the uber is only a chatzi isha. But being that the kedushin is going to be chal after the baby is already born, at that point, there's not going to be an issue of chatzi isha. So yesterday we spoke at length that really this machlokes from Shloim Eger and Reb Kiva Eger is machlokes rishonim. The Ran in the third parak of Masechtas Kedushin says clearly when he brings this Rambam, he says the Rambam meant lekishateli that avada the kedushin won't be chal while the uber is an uber. What this man is doing is he's doing a Maisa Kedusha now, and he wants it to be Chalak Kishatele. The Muki Yosef and the Magid Mishnah both disagree. And the Muki Yosef and the Magid Mishnah both say that no, the Rambam meant that the Kedusha should be Chal right now while this Uber is in the state of Uber. And because of that, the Muki Yosef and the Magid Mishnah both ask a Gevaldige Kash on the Rambam. The Gemara says, and it really begins with a Mishnah, Masechta Zivam, Masechta Beis Amid Beis, we know Chamesha Sreinoshim, Poitra Sreinoshim, Vitzora Sreinoshim, and Chalisa Meib. So Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven is married. He dies with no children. Shimon has a mitzvah to do Yibam, to marry Reuven's almana. In the event that Reuven's wife, Reuven's almana, was an erva to Shimon, it was Shimon's daughter, Shimon's sister, Shimon's shviger. The halacha is he can't do yibum. There is no din to do yibum. You also don't have to do chalitza. Not just that, the Mishnah says v'tzarei sein as well. If Reuven had two wives, one was an erva to Shimon, the other one wasn't an erva to Shimon. Reuven dies, being that Shimon can't do yibum v'chalitza on the erva. This is Beisil's halacha. Tzarei erva, there'd be no yibum v'chalitza as well. Says the Mishnah. What would be if before Reuven died, Reuven's wife, that was the erva, did miur. So she was a ketana. She was married off by her brother or one of her other kreivim. She was only married midrabanan, where the halacha is that if the woman decides that she doesn't want to stay married to her husband anymore, she doesn't need a get. You don't have to get involved in cherim's derabbeinu gershon. She has a right to walk away from her marriage. The halacha is the kedushin is nekar limafreya. It's as if she was never married. So says the Mishnah, if Reuven was married to two women, one was an erva to Shimon, one was not. And while Reuven was alive, the erva did miyon. Igloy milsa limafreya, that the erva was never married. If that's the case, the tzara was never a tzara's erva. So now that Reuven dies, Shimon's going to have it into two yibum. As I look the Mishnah. But says the Mishnah, doesn't work by all the arayas. The Mishnah lists 15 arayas that apply to this first halacha Masechtas Yevamos. There are three arayas it's not going to work for. Chamoisoi, Eim Chamoisoi, and Eim Chamav. Let's talk about Chamoisoi. Why won't it work for Chamoisoi? Because to the extent that Reuven's wife was Shimon's mother-in-law, how would Reuven's wife be Shimon's mother-in-law? It would mean that Shimon was married to Reuven's wife's daughter. If this woman, Reuven's wife, is a shviger, then by definition she can't do miyun. Because in order to do miyun, you have to be a ketana. And if a woman has a child, banim hareyem kisimanim, and she's a gdaila. So it's not possible for her to do miyun. So it says the Gemara, it's not possible to have this halacha, that the erva, Shimon's erva, who's married to Reuven, did miyun. As a result, Shimon has a din yibum on the tzara's erva. If the erva we're talking about is chamoisa, because if the erva is chamoisa, what does that mean? It means Shimon's married to Reuven's wife's daughter, which means that Reuven's wife has a daughter. If Reuven's wife has a daughter, that's what makes her a shviger by definition. Look it up. A shviger means you have a daughter, or maybe a son too. But certainly, if you have a daughter, you're a shviger who's married to someone. So if that's the definition of chamoisa, then it's not possible to do miyun because the minute she has banim, harem kisimar. Freit in the Muki Yosef, it's not true. I have it all worked out. Why did the Gemara assume that it's not possible to have chamoisa in amenas? Because the minute she's a shviger, she has children banim kisimanim. According to the Rambam that holds you can be mekadosh and uber, it's possible to be a shviger without having children. How so? If someone's mekadosh and uber, so if someone's mekadosh and uber, the mom is a shviger. If the mom is a shviger, there's no children, so you don't have here the banim kisimanim, so you have a chamoisoi. So this would be the case. The case would be where Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven is married. Reuven's wife is expecting a child. Shimon is mekadosh the other. Then Reuven dies. The halacha is that Shimon can't do yibum now to Reuven's wife because it's the shviger. Why is it the shviger? Because Shimon is married to the uber inside Reuven's wife's womb. It won't work. And she's a ktana. Why is she a ktana? Or maybe she's a ktana because you don't have banim kisimanim. The child wasn't born yet. Azay freik the Muki Yosef, azay freik the Maga Mishnah. Says Rav Kiveger, what do you for sure see in this Muki Yosef Maga Mishnah? You see that the Muki Yosef Maga Mishnah understood the Rambam literally, that the Kedushin is Gidi Bichal by the Muberes. So he tells Rav Shlomo Eger in the Tshuva that Rav Shlomo, that your pshat has a basis in the Rishonim, but realize that that's not the Iker pshat. I have a lot of problems with that. Rav Shlomo Eger writes back in the Tshuva, he says, I wish my father, he says, Tasty Lee, give me credit at least that if you would see my Gilyon when I wrote down the Shiloh, I wrote Mefurish that it's totally in this Machloikas Rishonim. I know it's talking about Mishnah Muki Yosef, and my whole kasha on the Rambam of Ubi Yerachim Echatzi Isha was all predicated on the Muki Yosef Magamish. He says, Tasty Lee, give me credit because it's in my Gilyon. And he writes in the Tshuva word for word verbatim what he wrote in the Gilyon. Either way, but that's the Muki Yosef's kasha. Muki Yosef's kasha is, why does the Gemara say, Lemetzin Chamaisai? Mamenes, it is possible to have Chamoyes Mamenes if she's a shviger, as a sort shviger where Shimon is married to Reuven's wife's Ober. It's like Reb Chaim and Sefer. That although it's true the Mugyes and Nagmish understood in the Rambam, that it's possible to be Mekadosh and Ober, but that's poshit, that Kedushin is going to be a different type of Kedushin. Because although it's possible to have Kedushin with an Ober, you can't have Ishus with an Ober. Ishus with an Ober is not possible. Meaning, when a man marries a woman, there's a kinyan taking place. That's the first mission of the Sachas Kedushin, Isha Niknas. But it's a different kinyan than an ordinary kinyan. Usually if you buy something, Shoyrei, Chamoyrei, Avdei, it's yours. You have it. With a woman, there's a very special set of halachas that emanate as a result of the kinyan. One of them is Dinei Yishus. Dinei Arayis. There's a whole bunch of different halachas that come as a result of the fact that this Kedushin took place. Says Reb Chaim, it's true, you could do the Maisa kinyan. You want to do an Isha Niknes with an Uber, you could do it. That's this Rambam over here. Perig, Zayin, Halacha, Zayin, and Hilchas Yishus. Nothing to talk about. But you want to know if the Dinei Yishus are going to be Chal Ba'udoi Uber, that's not possible. Ishus is a special type of relationship. It's a relationship between a man and a wife. You can't have that between a man and an Uber. It just doesn't make any sense. So there's no Ishus on an Uber. Says Reb Chaim, what begets the laws of Arayas? It's the Ishus. When there's an Ishus, you have Arayas. So says Reb Chaim, it's true. It's possible, according to the Rambam, to have a technical shviger, a chamoisoi, even though she's still a ktana. How so? If you were Makadish the Uber, you don't have the Banim Kisimonim. If she's less than 12 years old, she's going to be a Chamoise, that's a Ktana. But the Erva of Chamoise, that you can't have. Because even though there's going to be a Kiddushin when she's an Uber, the Ishus you're not going to have. Erva is totally an Ishus. So if there's going to be no Ishus, Memela, that's our Chaim answer the Kashas. Yesterday, we mentioned that it could be there'd be a Gevaldig and Afgamina Halacha that would come out as a result of this. Mentioned that there's another example, an earlier example, some precedents to have a case where there's a Kedushin and there's no Ishus. That is the infamous Shivcha Charufa. The Torah says that if you have a Isha, that's Nechrefes Leish, she's a Shivcha Charufa, so Epis Vos, she's an Isha, she's Nechrefes, if you know what Nechrefes means. That's the magic word here that we need to interpret. But she's Nechrefes Leish, so she's like an Isha Sish, and someone's Mezana with her. So ordinarily, if someone's Mezana with an Isha Sish, what's the halacha? Chenek, he's Chayiv Misa, Chorus, right? It's pretty serious. But if someone is Mezana with a Shivcha Charufa, even though she's Nechrefes Leish, the Torah says all she has to do is bring, she's one of the five, he's one of the five people that bring a Karbanah. So the Chiv is going to be Asha. The Chiv is not going to be Misa. So what do you have then by a Shivcha Charufa? You have a Eishes Ish, technically. She's married, but there's a Chiv Asham, there's no Chiv Chem. So what exactly is a Shivcha Charufa? It says, Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We pass in the Rambam Pasuk Rabbi Akiva, it's a Chetzia Shivcha, the Chetzia Bas Chayrin, where the Chetzia Bas Chayrin was married to a man. Now, the way the Gemara describes it is married to an Eved Ivri, because only an Eved Ivri would actually be able to do something with this marriage. Because ordinarily, a man wouldn't be able to be boil a Chetzi Shivcha Chetzi Bas Chayrim. Because the Chetzi Bas Chayrim is mutter, but the Chetzi Shivcha is aser. But an Eved Ivri, if it was Machru Bezdin, he's mutter b'shivcha. So Eved Ivri could get married to the Tzad Ben Chayrin. He's mutter even to the Tzad Shivcha. That's the example. So that's the Chetzi Shivcha, Chetzi Bas Chayrim. So in that marriage, the halach is, that being that it's not an ordinary marriage, it's a Chetzi Shivcha, Chetzi Bas Chayrim, she's a shivcha charufa, she's not deemed an ordinary Eishes Ish. If she's not deemed an ordinary Eishes Ish, the halachis is going to be a chiyav Asher, it's not going to be a freik to Pnei Yeshua, kasha. We spoke about this at length yesterday, let's just do this very, very quickly. Freik to Pnei Yeshua, the Gemara always says that there's a Mishnah, Perek Arbachin, Yevam Islamat Aleph on the days, that if a woman falls the Yibum, Machmas Shnei Achin, there's no Yibum Beiraisa. Umeis Echad Mehem. A woman that falls the Yibum, Machmas Yavam Echad, that's when you have the dinam of Yibum. But if she falls Machmas Shnei Achin, you don't have it. What's the example? So the example that's always given is Maimer. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven died without children. Shimon did Maimer. And then Shimon died without children. So now this Almana is falling to Levi. Machmas Reuven, Machmas Shimon. She's Eishes Beis Yavamin. There's not going to be a halacha of. The problem is, Maimer doesn't work Medei Raisa. Chloikis B'shaim B'sol, B'pasach B'sol, Maimer doesn't work Medei Raisa. So really Medei Raisa, she only felt Machmas Reuven. She never felt Machmas Shimon. So the Gemara says, Blematzino Eishes Beis Mason. There's no example of where you find this idea of Zikas Yavam Echad versus Zikas Beis Yavamin when it comes to two brothers. You only freak the Pnei Yeshua. I have a great example. You know what my example is? Shifcha Charufa. Chetz Yeshifcha Chetz Vaschayim that was married. And then this guy's brother married her as well. I think both Kedushins are going to be Chal. Why would both Kedushins not be Chal? What would be the tzad that both Kedushins shouldn't be Chal? Because she's an Eishes Ish. How could she be Mekabel Kedushin? But she's not an Eishes Ish. V'horay, if someone's Mezana with her, what's the halacha? You bring a Karban Asham. You don't Chayiv Chanek. So she's not an Eishes Ish. If she's not an Eishes Ish, there's no reason Kedushin be Chal. In fact, it's a Gemara Mufresh. It's Kedushin Samach Zayinam Adveiz. The Gemara says, why is Kedushin not Toivis B'Eishes Ish? And the Gemara says, because Kedushin's not Toivis B'Achis Ish. And Akeshi the Rabbi Yoino, Hukshu Kola Rayas Zeloze. So if there's no Kedushin by an Achis Ish, there's no Tvisis Kedushin by an Eishes Ish. That means the only reason there's no Tvisis Kedushin by an Eishes Ish is because she's an Eishes Ish. So Shifcha Charufa, who's not an Eishes Ish, V'haraya, Osham, not Chenek, so the Churishi would be able to get married a second time. So what would be if Reuven, whether he's an Eved Ivri, let's say, marries a Chetz Yishivcha Chetz, and then his brother Shimon does the same thing, L'chayra, she's the Eishes Beis Mason, then Reuven and Shimon both died, there's a third brother lady. I have the case with Midday Rice, so it's Negei Dalochel, Meis Echad Mehem, Zikas Yavam Echad, not Zikas Beis Yavam, Tzok Tepnei Shua, Gevaldik Yechidish, that even though this woman is not an Eishes Ish, so based on the case of the Rabbi Yoina, there's no reason she shouldn't be able to get married, but every woman, when she gets married, she gives her soul over to her husband. Gufa konu v'baylo. And she doesn't have a yad anymore to be a kabbal kedushin for herself. And being that she doesn't have a yad to be a kabbal kedushin, agam, there's no erva, still it wouldn't be negate. Abni Malum is not tmiya. He says, not like the sugi kedushin, samach zayinim abeis. He says, a tmiya gedoyle v'zeh borah, the Pnei Yeshua was wrong. He's wrong. If there's no Eishes Ish, says the Abni Malum, it's poshut she could be a kabbal kedushin from somebody else. Why isn't this the example of Eishes Beis Mason? Zok the Abni Malum, because although it was neschadish in the parish of Shivcha Charufa, that there's no Eishes Ish by a Shifcha Charufa, but it was never Nischadish that there's no Eishes Ach. And in order to have Yibum, it can't just be another random person being Mekadisher. What you need is that this guy's brother can't marry this woman for two reasons. Why can't you marry your brother's wife? She's an Eishes Ish, and she's an Eishes Ach. So Enochinami, it was Nisgala in the parish of Shifcha Charufa, that there is no Chisorin of Eishes Ish, but it was never Nisgala, there's no Eishes Ach. So it's Vaitan not going to be yet feasible. But what comes out from this Machloikis Abnum of Meshua? A lot of things come out. But Ashenogel in Yonenu, what comes out? There's a Machloikis Yisoidi. If you have a Kedushin without Ishos, married, yeah, but Eishes Ish, not. In Keisha the Rabbi Oina, not. Could she be Mekabel Kedushin for somebody else or not? According to Pnei Yeshua, she can't. Because even though there's no Eishes Ish, and you don't have the Sugya and Kedushin Samach Zayin, but she still has no Yad to be Mekabel Kedushin. Because her Isha Niknes, she belongs to her husband. According to the Avnei Malum, there's no such thing. According to the Avnei Malum, what was the Nafkamina they were discussing? A Shifcha. A Chetz Yeshifcha Chetz Baschayim. A Shifcha Charufa. Could she be Mekabel Kedushin from somebody else? According to Pnei Yeshua, she can't be Mekabel Kedushin from somebody else. According to the Avnei Malum, she could. It's only his brother that she can. But somebody else she could. Bechura, according to Reb Chaim, that Kedushay Ober is Kedushin. But what issues come out? If someone's Mekabel Kedushin on behalf of his daughter, but what kind of daughter? An Ober. Could he now be Mekabel Kedushin from somebody else on behalf of the same Ober? According to Pnei Yeshua, no. Because this woman, once her father was Mekabel Kedushin on her behalf, she belongs to somebody. If she belongs to somebody, she can't get married to somebody else. But according to the Avni Meluim, she could. But I was thinking there's a third case, and I think this is gewaldic, and that is that we're familiar with the sugi of Zika. Chleikus and Shas. Yesh Zika. This wasn't hard enough. Yesh Zika or Ain Zika. What's the Shaila? Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven dies without children. There's a mitzvah for Shimon to do Yibum. not only is it mitzvah for Shimon to do Yibam, but it's mavor, that before Shimon does Yibam, there's already a bond. There's some ishus, isha hiknu lo menashamayim, the Gemara says, between Reuven's almana and Shimon. In fact, the idea of chalitza is me'en gerishin. You have to cut the zika that exists. Now, if you remember from the sugyas of Masechtas Yevamos, everybody holds the zika. The Isolai Siya Eshes and Mesachutza, the Zor is predicated, everybody holds the Zika. The Shaila is how vite does Zika go? Yesh Zika or Ein Zika? The classic example of Yesh Zika, Ein Zika is if this Zikuka has a sister. So Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven died without children. Shimon has a mitzvah to be Miyab and Reuven's Almana. Could Shimon in the interim marry Reuven's Almana's sister? Udinel is an Isser and Achri sister. So the mandama that says Yesh Zika says it's like marrying your wife's sister. It's awesome. The mandama that holds Ein Zika says that is no problem. That's the Shaila Yesh Zika, Ein Zika. Now Yesh Zika, according to the mandama, Yesh Zika, is it a Dinda Iraisa or is it a Dinda Rabbanan? So my son is learning Yevamos now, SEB. So I asked him, I said, Shlomo Zalman, Zika, the Iraisa Rabbanan. I said, it's the Rabbanan. I said, how do you know? I mean, all the sugis of Achrisku Kasai. It's mavur clearly that it's only mid Rabbanan. So I told him, you're right, but your Rebbe didn't tell you this Avi Ezra that I'm about to tell you. It's not so poshut. I'm going to tell you why it's not so poshut. Because although throughout Masechtas Yevamos, it is clear that Yesh Zika is only mid Rabbanan, but there's another sugya. It's tucked away. It's a Masechtas Nedarim. It's a Perek Nairamu Rasa. And the Gemara over there discusses a Zekuka, an Isha, that's a Kekes Yibam who made a Neder. And the Gemara says, according to the Ma'anama that holds Yesh Zika, the Yavam can be made for Neder. There was no Yibam yet. It's a state of Zika. If she makes a Neder, the Yavam can be made for Neder. So Frank of Shach and Avi Ezri, others ask the Kasha as well, if Zika is only a Dinder Rabbanon, how could a man be made for a Neder? You ain't koich biat chachomim lakudov minatoyer b'kum v'aseh, midday raisa, she made a Neder. Midai Raisa, he has no basis to be made for the nether. Midai Rabbana and Yesh Zika, he could go ahead and be made for the nether. It's one kasha. Another kasha is, Tais and Sech Zivamas brings Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that if a man died without children, leaves a wife, that's going to be Zakat Yibam. This man was a Kayan. So what's the halacha ordinarily? An Eishes Kayan is allowed to eat Truma, but only as long as her husband's alive, or if the husband dies and leaves over children. If there's no children and there's no husband, and she's a Bas Yisrael, she goes back to her father's house. She's not allowed to eat truma anymore. What if he left over a brother who's also a kohen? Obviously, the halacha says Rabbeinu Tam, you can eat truma. Frank of Shach, why can't eat truma? It doesn't make sense. How could she eat truma? Yesh Zika? Yesh Zika is only with the Rabbana. How could Yesh Zika allow truma there? Zakr of Shach, a governor. He says that vice is from here that sometimes Yesh Zika de Raisa, it's clear from Afaros Nadorim and from Truma, and sometimes Yesh Zika de Rabbana. When it comes to the Isra Achis Ishtoi. So what's the getter? Yesh Zika de Raisa or Yesh Zika de Rabbanan? So Abshach says, half of a fellow. He says, do you know what the getter of Zika is? It's like Reb Chaim's Kedusha Yoga. There's a Kenyan de Raisa. But you know what there is in the de Raisa? There's no Ishus in the de Raisa. So Afaris Nadarim, which is totally in the Isha Niknes, that's totally in Kedusha Nabez. Truma, which is totally in Kenyan Kaspoi, that's the Lashon HaTorah, that you have in the de Raisa. So for that, you're going to have a Yesh Zika in the de Raisa. But Ervo, Achos Ishtoi, that's totally in Ishus. This Geder, there's going to be no Ishus. Shivcha Charufa, Kedusha, Uber, Zika, it's Kenyan below Ishus. It's Kenyan below Ishus, that's how it works. So I was thinking that I think with this, you can understand something that's very, very puzzling. In the sugyas of Zika, is mavur that there's a man lama that holds Yesh Zika even when there's two Yavam. That means if Reuven dies without children, and he leaves over two brothers, Shimon and Levi. So Sifahana man lama, not everybody agrees with this. But there's a man lama that holds Yesh Zika even when there's two Yavam. So I never understood that. How does that make sense? How could you have Zika with two brothers? Zika's issues. A woman can't be married to two men. So if a woman can't be married to two men, then how's it possible to have Zika when there's two brothers? You know what the Teretz is? It's true a woman can't be married to two men, but that's only if there's an issue. But if there's no issue, a woman could be married to two men. For Rayad Avni Milum said it by a Shifcha Charufa. That a Shifcha Charufa, Hagam, there's a Kenyan, but being that there's no issue, so there is no Shemeshes Ish. If there's no Shemeshes, there's no reason she can't be married to two men. So if the gather of Zika is Kenyan below issues, then there's no reason in the world that this woman shouldn't be able to be married to two men. The male is going to be shaykh zika to two men. But it's even more than that. Because even the Pnei Yeshua that argued, why did the Pnei Yeshua argue? The Pnei Yeshua said that this woman is Bishus Baila. She doesn't have a yad to be Mekabel Kedushin. How do you be Mekabel Kedushin? The father can't do it. She can't do it. But Zika's Isha Hikmulam and Hashanayim. So it could be here even the Pnei Yeshua would be murdered that it'd be Shaykh to have Yesh Zika Bebez Yivamim. But the bottom line is that this idea, this chida of Yesh Zika Bebez Yivamim, how does that make sense? How could a woman be married to two men? You never find such a concept. Here, all of a sudden, it works. Okay, Isha Hikmulam and Hashanayim. But at the end of the day, Ishus is something that by definition doesn't work. One woman, one man to two women, yeah. One woman to two men, you don't find anywhere works. The Teretz is the way Rav Shach understood Zika, that it's Kinyan B'lo Yishus. And the way we're telling Tzud Avni Melun, Mem Dalet Dalet, his machloik is with the Pnei Yeshua, where he says, Mefurish Avni Melun, that a Shivcha Charufa, Hayoist is Kinyan B'lo Yishus. So you don't have that case to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Allah is that she would be able to be married to two men. That's gewaldig. If that's the gather of Zika, why should be able to be married to two men? That concludes part three of this hashtag Festerate. But before we finish, just wanted to say one vart on the parsha that relates to the sugya, incredibly, that we learned this week. And that is, this week's parsha is Parsha Shlach. And of course, Parsha Shlach begins with the chet of the Meragim. Hashem tells Moshe, Midaitcha, not telling you to do it, but if you'd like to send Meraglim into Eretz Yisrael so they can come back and tell the Yidden how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is, that's okay. Moshe Rabbeinu takes Nasiim, he sends them into Eretz Yisrael, and rather than come back and give a glowing report, talk about Eretz Avos Chal V'Dvash, they come back and they give this horrible report. He said, guys, you have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. This is horrible, it's terrible, it's going to be a disaster, let's do everything we could possibly do to avoid having to go into Eretz Yisrael. And it's because of what the Meraglim did and the way the Yidden reacted that the Yidden ended up remaining in the Midbar for 40 years, and they cried Balaylahu, it's the night of Tisha B'Av, Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, the expulsion of Spain, all the terrible sorrows that Klal Yisrael had to endure over the last few thousand years are rooted in the Chet of the Meraglim. So what was the Aver of the Meraglim? So if you look at the Svarim, there's a lot of different ideas. Many pulpit rabbis have been able to identify different nuances of the story in terms of what exactly it was that the Meraglim did wrong. Obviously, there's Lashon Hara. The Zohar HaKadosh talks about the gaiva of the Meraglim. It even came to Kfiro, Ki Chazaku Mimeno, right? They told him, says, I don't even know if we're going to be, Hashem maybe can't even overcome the Meraglim. Yeah, God was strong enough to take us out of Egypt. And maybe even to split the sea. But to take us into Eretz Canaan, well, I don't even know if he could do that. It came to that point. That was the low point. Even Kfiro. Stating that, there's a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Vav. Pasuk Chav Dalet. The pasuk is describing the chet of the Meraglim. It says the pasuk, Vayimasu be'eretz chemda lo yaminu ledvarai. That the Meraglim, the root of what the Meraglim did wrong was Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. They were moyes in Eretz Yisrael. Because they were moyes in Eretz Yisrael, that's somehow the Avera that is attributed in the final analysis to what it is that the Meraglim, and obviously it's Sarach Bir. They were nichshal in the chet of kfira, like the end of the pasuk, lo yaminu ledvarai. So why is it that vayimasu be'eretz chemda seems to be, so I once thought that perhaps gishtaltzu avart that I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on the Mishnah in the end of Masechtas Gittin. The Mishnah brings a machlokes b'shamay b'sil, at what point a man is allowed to divorce his wife. B'shamay says, v'yigarish adam es ishtei elam kematzah be'erv. A person is not allowed to divorce his wife unless he finds, like the pasuk says, kematzah be'erv is davar. If his wife is mezana, she's a soita, he's not allowed to be married to her anymore, so then you're allowed to give her a get. But otherwise, v'yigarish adam es ishtei. B'sil says, afilo hikticha tafshiloi. No, a man comes home, what's for supper, picks up the pot, he sees it's burnt, grounds for divorce. So B'shamay says, you're only allowed to be megarish your wife, kematzah be'erv is davar. You can't live with her. There's nothing you could do. Halachically, there's no way to stay married. So then, you give her a get. But anything shy of that, you find a way to make it work. Beis Hillel says, afilo hiktich tavshiloi, even that would be enough for you to be able to go ahead and give a get. So I heard, Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, says, if you think about it, this machloikis is hepach of the personalities of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai throughout Shas was someone that seems to be stronger, takes a tougher stance. When the ger came into Shammai and told him, teach me kol ha-toyra kula regal achad, Beis Shammai recused himself. He said, I'm sorry, I can't deal with you. He went to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel was an anav. So we follow Beis Hillel. Halacha is like Beis Hillel, says the Gemara, because of the anivus that they had. Ayin Erev and Yud Gimel Lamed Beis, Yud Dalet. So you see that they were much more nitzdayin when it came to Midas Toivos than were Beis Shammai. So how is it possible that over here, Beis Shammai saying that if there's an issue with your marriage, work it out. It's only if you physically can't stay married, okay, then you don't have a choice. But anything, Reis Hillel? Beis Hillel, who's the Anavsin? Beis Hillel, 5 minutes before Shabbos, people were driving him crazy, but his Midas Ahanova allowed him to deal with people. We just spoke out to Masha. Ruya Hoysa Shechino Shetisha Al Hillel Kemosh Rabbeinu. Sanhedrin Alpha. Why? Mitoich Goydel and the Sanusai. So here, that Beis Hillel, who's such a gevaldig about Midas, is the one that's saying, Afilo Hikticha Tavshiloi. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said it's Hepach HaSvar. And I heard this, shame, Mordechai Kamenetsky, and explained it with a marshal. He said that there was a man who, Loyaleinu, his wife died. And after his wife died, Shabbos, he would go eat by his children. He would go to his daughters-in-law, they would prepare him a meal, and that's where he would go for Shabbos. And there was a running joke in the family that after every Shabbos day Suda, the father would be complimentary. He would compliment his daughter or daughter-in-law for the suda. He said, the suda was great. This was amazing. The herring, the liver. He never had such chopped liver. But the cholent, as good as it was, Znishka may be the mama's cholent. One Shabbos, daughter wakes up. It's having her father. It's her turn. House smells. Goes to the cholent. Sees the cholent was for Brent. And she felt terrible. Father's coming. She gets him once every 2 months. And she's going to serve him for Brent the cholent. Anyways, father sits down at the meal, they eat the suda, at the end of the suda, the father goes through his graces, and he says, this was delicious, that was delicious, and by the way, he turns to his daughter, finally, you figured out how to make your mother's cholent. This mother, this wife, had been making Fabrenta cholent her whole life. But to this man, it was the mama's cholent, and it was the best cholent in the world. Hot, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky gesagt, Beis Hillel was so ausgezeichnet in Midas. They were so sensitive to what it means a wife and what it means shalom bayis that if my wife makes burnt cholent, it's the best cholent in the world. I don't taste it burnt. Maybe you've tasted burnt. I don't taste the burnt. You know why? Because it's my wife's cholent. So if a man comes home, says Beis Hillel, and he gets supper, and it's a k'ticha tavshiloi, he feels like it's a burnt cholent. You know what that means? There's something wrong at the core with this marriage. And if there's something wrong at the core of this marriage, you can go ahead and divorce your wife. It didn't come from a place of kapdonos, just the opposite. It came from such a deep sensitivity of what it is, shalom bayis, what it is, ahavas ishtoi, that if you can feel k'ticha tavshiloi, that means you have a right to go ahead and divorce. So I was thinking, the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael, and you know what happened? They saw scary things. They see big people, they see giants, they see levayas, even the clusters of grapes are tremendous. The Gemara waxes poetic about all the scary things that they saw. But you know why it was scary? Because they didn't feel like this was their land. They didn't have that emotional connection to it. But they felt that this is my wife's child. It doesn't matter how burnt it is. It doesn't matter how big the people are, how scary Eretz Yisrael is. But it's my land. It's my land. They would have felt it differently. So it's true. You want to know where the spiral was, the Meraglim. They were scared. They were spooked. So they ended up lying, speaking Lashon Hara. And it evolved or devolved to Kfira. But what was at the root of it? The root of it was Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. Because they were Moyes Be'eretz Chemda, they didn't feel like this is their land. That was the root cause of everything. So I found yesterday that Rav Pam Zatzal in his Sefer HaTorah LeMelech says exactly what I just told. Doesn't mean the mice with Rabbi Yaakov, Mordechai Kamenetsky. But this is, he said, he begins with the pasuk Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda, and he says, Ubeze Yevor Heit Devinya Meraglim, Chetam Hoye Be'emuna Betochen, Avul Shirish Advarim Hoysa, Bechisor Chibes Oretz, She'ilu Ohavu Eretz Chemda Zu Ahava Azo, what we just said. But he adds one hoysafa, and I felt a tremendous hashgacha brought this when I saw this. Because he says as follows, Hine, Bebava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amad Beis, Isav Gemar, Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Om Rabbi Yechanan, Hamazakul Uber, Loikana. It's unbelievable. This is the sugya we learned the last 3 days. Hamazaku luba loikana. Freak the Gemara, Ayar Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if somebody's wife was pregnant and he says, Intel Ishti Zachar, I'm going to give it a month. Nekeva, I'm going to give it Masai. Why more for the Nekeva than the Zachar? Etc., etc. But the point is, he's Mezakulo, Ubert Allah is Kana. So, Freit the Gemara, how could you say, Hamazakulo, Ubert Kana? I unzer a Mishnah, and for the Gemara, Hoyol Vedaitoi, Shall Otam Kreve Eitzabnait. There's a difference. There's a difference between being Mezaka to a random Uber and being Mezaka to your own Uber. Says Rapam, Vishamati Pam, Vishim Godol Echod, Shehizbra Dovakach. He said, Poshubshat in our Sugi as follows. But Uber, when it comes to an Uber, there's a lot of things that have to go right in order for this child to grow up, to be someone that will be a beneficiary of this kid. Number one, will he even be born? It's for that reason, it's based on the sugi of Ein Adam Makna Dovah Shalei Bala Olam. Even Rav Meir the Gemara says, "Ein Adam Makna Lidavar Shalei Bala Olam," because at the end of the day, this Uber is Lei Bala Olam. So in your mind, you don't really have a Gemara stas to be Makna to the Uber. Because do you know if this Uber is going to grow up? Do you know if things are going to play itself out? How old does he have? How many years need to pass? How many things need to go right and perfect? How much siyata d'shmaya does this Uber need in order to get to the point where this matana that you're giving him is actually going to be nageya? Omnam, said Rapam, shani Uber didei. When it comes to your own child, you don't see the world that way. Dimiroiv ahavasa of the b'noi. Because of the immense love that a father has for his son, ein hu mala al daite shum chash sakon of an ezek. He doesn't think that way. When he views his Uber, he sees a Dovah Shabbal Olam, a Bar Kayama, a Bari V'chazak, V'tzofi L'asin Mazah. He's already walking him down the chuppah because he's his son. And because of his Ahava, he doesn't anticipate all these terrible things that could actually happen. L'fichach gomar amakna. The yisayit of a mezakah little like Kana is because so many things need to happen. Memela you're not gomar amakna. But when it comes to your own son, you don't anticipate. You the hava, the negius that you have overwhelms all those sveikas, all those chashas. You can never think along those lines. It's exactly what happened. The yidden, the miragim, they go into Eretz Yisrael, they see scary things, they start getting afraid. What if this doesn't go right? What if that doesn't go right? What if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? It was all because they didn't feel like it was their land. You're right, think about what needs to happen. But had they felt the hava, had they felt like this is theirs, it's their child, it's their land, there couldn't have been a problem. And that's why the Pasuk identifies, do you say the Shoresh of the Chet HaMeraglim as Vayimasu Beretz Chemda?